Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, happy Valentine's Day. I hope that you are having a good day, that you've had one so far, and that whatever plans you have for this evening are going to be good. This year is a very special year for my wife and I, and I'm grateful that she's able to be with me here in the studio. This is the year we're going to celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary, and I just thank God for the privilege that I've had for almost 50 years of being married to Susan. Susan, thank you for coming down to the studio and being with me for this broadcast.
You're welcome.
Now, God has blessed us over the years with plenty of challenges, things to grow us and stretch our faith, but he's also blessed us with 7 children and 14 grandchildren and a wonderful life together. But Susan, would you say it's safe to say that time flies?
Absolutely, and it's getting much, much faster all the time.
Absolutely. I hate to say that that's what happens when you're going downhill, but every year is a smaller segment of our lives, and so it goes by with a sense of increased speed. One of the things that I think has helped us through the years that we've had is the fact that we've worked to keep romance alive. Agreed?
Yes.
We have some plans for Valentine's Day. We decided what we would like to do is to eat. But we're not going out to a restaurant. We're going to have some things at home. You mentioned a seafood that is a favorite of yours, one of your favorite seafoods, and we're going to look forward to your cooking that for us. What are we having?
Well, I suggested scallops.
And I suggested that that's a great idea. We lived in New England together for 8 years, and 5 of those years were on Cape Cod, and scallops became a favorite dish. We had a lot of good fresh seafood up there, a bunch of commercial fishermen in our church, and we still enjoy seafood, especially if we can get it fresh, which here in East Tennessee, it has to be flown in.
Yes.
But thankfully, there are airplanes, and there are folks who bring good fresh food. We probably are going to couple that with some beef that I'll fix. But I think it's wonderful that we can have a celebratory meal because we have a lot to celebrate. Romance is biblical, folks. It's back in Genesis when God said it's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. And God made from his side a woman. And God planned that. It was his provision. And when Jesus was asked about divorce, he pointed people back to Genesis and said that God's plan from the beginning was that God made us male and female. Those are the only two options. He made us male and female. And he declared, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And that is God's plan still today. So in Genesis, we see romance as God's design. We see marriage as God's design. Proverbs gives specific instructions about the importance of loving your wife well and delighting in her. And then in Song of Solomon, we have a whole book devoted to the physical relationship between husband and wife and the fact that that is supposed to be a picture of the love that God has for us, the relationship between Christ and the church. That gets picked up in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And Peter also gives instructions, both Paul and Peter, writing in the New Testament, about the relationship between husband and wife with some very practical instruction. And then the book of Revelation talks about the fact that we are the bride and Jesus is the bridegroom, and there's going to be a wedding feast one day. But the world has a lot to say about romance. And what the world has to say about it is just not true. I consider myself extremely blessed to have grown up with parents who not only love Jesus and not only loved their kids, but they clearly loved each other. And it was a love that came from God, a love that lasted. And my father was a real example of a wonderful romantic husband. He set the bar high for his children in that regard because he was always writing poems and displaying his love for my mom. He'd hug her, he'd kiss her, and speak kindly to her and about her. And he really was a wonderful role model. And I haven't written as many poems as he did, but I'll tell you this, his first poem that he wrote for my mom was an acrostic where each line begins with a different letter. And Dad was a better poet than he was a speller. And so before my mother married him, she already knew he had a spelling problem because he wrote her a poem that was supposed to spell out sweetheart, S-W-E-E-T, H-E-A-R-T. Unfortunately, the poem spelled out sweatheart. So, Dad, you could always tell his intentions were the best, even if he misspelled something. But it's important that we look for ways. You don't have to be a poet like my dad, but it's important to look for ways to show the people that you love that you love them. And it's important if you're married to show your spouse that. And husbands bear the bulk of that responsibility in the marriage. If you look at what Paul says to the Ephesians, husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The wife is to respect her husband. That doesn't mean wives aren't supposed to love their husbands. Doesn't mean husbands aren't supposed to respect their wives. It does mean that husbands bear a special responsibility in that regard. And I have sought to be faithful to that and live up to that. I've actually written my wife a few songs, but she will approve of the fact I'm not going to sing any on air today. But the fact of the matter is, God is the one who has loved us so well. And Scripture tells us that we have a responsibility in this regard. It's not if you feel up to it, if you'd like to. It's what God calls on us to do. We live a life of love. Susan, you've watched more than a few Hallmark movies over the years. Can romance save us?
Definitely not.
What's our only hope?
Jesus.
Absolutely.
But he uses romance as an illustration of what the relationship between Christ and the church is supposed to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And before I met you, I didn't think I was going to be married. I hadn't seen many beautiful illustrations of what married life is supposed to be in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a very young person then, and by the grace of God, he saved me.
Mm-hmm.
He saved me in Montreat, and then he introduced me to my husband 2 years later there. And now we will have been married 50 years this year, and I'll be having my 70th birthday. And one unexpected activity that has occurred in my life that I never expected was during my 69th year, I ended up having a TIA, sitting down at lunch, trying to start a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't even remember who that man was who was running for president at the moment. And I ended up in the hospital. So it's launching me into the final phase of my life very unexpectedly and very strangely. And as we were talking about time speeding by faster and faster toward the end, you talked about that sounds like going downhill or it sounds like launching. And I'm hoping to be launching into heaven. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful life. I have wonderful children and grandchildren. And I am so looking forward to heaven. It's going to be awesome there.
Praise God.
I'm grateful. And I'm also grateful that God called me to be married and that he gave me the husband he gave me. But the one thing that both of us discussed and I said to you is, you know, I'll never be able to love you like I love Jesus.
Amen.
I love Jesus with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I don't do it perfectly by any means, and he loves me perfectly. Mm-hmm. I can never do that, no matter how hard I try. But you told me the same.
Amen.
And if you hadn't told me that, I would never have married you. Never. I think Jesus has to be the most important person. And one thing that I wanted to say during this time was how I haven't watched football much. When I was a child, it was an idol in my father's life, and it's somewhat of an idol in my life back then especially. And so I usually just avoid watching the Super Bowl. But I was so grateful. It was worth it to watch the entire Super Bowl just to see the coach of the Eagles and the quarterback of the Eagles being interviewed, because they got it nail on the head that Jesus is Lord. Mm-hmm. And they glorified him in what they said. And I was so grateful to get to see that. It warms my heart so much. I love it.
And I think there have been a lot of folks. We saw with the college championship that God has been drawing people to himself in the field of athletics, in the field of show business, in the field of politics. Folks are getting saved. God Amen. Is bringing in a harvest. And a lot of people who didn't know the Lord just a few years ago have come to know Jesus and are trusting him. And all of us are on a journey. We're not perfect people. And whether we're married or single, our love is imperfect. But God's love, as you said, is perfect because he's perfect.
Yes.
We're not. Our only perfection is in him. It's his righteousness that robes us. But when you hear a football player saying that same thing, that, you know, we're robed in the righteousness of Christ, it's not something we've accomplished. It's what he's done for us. It's pretty thrilling to see that. So that was an encouragement, and we thank God for that. I remember that young lady that I met in Montreat 2 years after you'd come to know Jesus. And that was the number one thing that caused me to fall in love with you. If you have not heard that story, radio listeners, I hope you'll read the book that Susan wrote some years ago called A Place to Call Home. Because the fact is, I fell in love with Susan before I ever laid eyes on her. She was sharing a testimony in a room where I was seated near a large column, and I couldn't see her because the column was in the way. And as I heard her talking about what Jesus had done in her life and her devotion to him, I became more and more fascinated and eager to see, who is this person? And I was so pleased when I saw that she not only had a beautiful testimony, but she's a beautiful lady. And God graciously allowed me to persuade her that instead of being a single missionary overseas, she was supposed to be my wife. And the Lord has been kind. But I just want to encourage you who are listening to realize that Jesus is the only one who can satisfy. Susan and I have been blessed with what I think we would agree is a happy marriage. That doesn't mean that all of our feelings are positive and we just walk around on clouds so happy all the time. What it does mean is that even in difficulty, whether it's Susan's health challenges or the challenges of our oldest son who lives with us now and has had over 40 surgeries in his life, he's 46 years old, to see him go through that would have been unbearable were it not for the fact that God sustained us. And I remember years ago when Paul was just turning 2 and he'd had one surgery after another as they were trying to get the pressure in his brain regulated. And I said to Susan, you know, this uncertainty is just killing me. If I knew that God said, I'm going to heal your son, then no matter what happened, I could trust the Lord. And if the Lord said, I'm going to take your son, he's going to just come on to heaven, I could accept that and trust the Lord. But not knowing, that's just eating me up. And Susan said, since when does God have to tell us what's going to happen? You and I could be killed in a car wreck on our way back to the hospital. Well, she was right, of course. And that was one of many occasions over the years when God has used her to speak truth to me and remind me that our circumstances are not the source of our comfort. God is the comforter. The Holy Spirit is the one who sustains us. And so I want to encourage you, whether you're married or single, whether you're widowed or divorced, whether you're a teenager or whether you're a senior citizen, whatever your circumstances, love is of God. And God is the one that you need to look to because he's the only one who can satisfy. There have been times when Susan has been disappointed in me and times when I've been disappointed in her, but we've never been disappointed in Jesus. And that makes all the difference. Knowing him is the one who sustains us and who keeps us at peace. So I want to encourage you, if you're struggling, reach out. You're welcome to contact us. You can call the toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. That's 866-41-ABIDE. And leave a message there, and we'll follow up with you, and we will pray for you. We've got a long prayer list, both Susan and I. And we pray for folks. This last year, one of our faithful listeners who had corresponded with us went to be with the Lord. And before the Lord took him home, he reached out. We prayed him through that process, prayed with his wife, and encouraged her. They asked some specific questions about how to handle certain things and relationships and so on. And I was grateful that we had that opportunity to minister to them at that time. And we've stayed in touch with her now that he's in heaven. But I want to encourage you, if you're struggling, you don't have to make this on your own. The Lord is there for his children. And his children are there for each other. So don't be afraid to reach out. And if you're saying, well, I don't know the Lord, I don't think it would be safe to say that I'm a Christian, what are you waiting for? You don't have to clean up your act in order to come to Jesus. He's the only one who can clean us up. And I want to encourage you, put your trust in him. Jesus came, the Bible says, to save sinners. That's why he came. It was for people like you and me. So, if you want to know the deepest, greatest, conquering love of all, come to know Jesus. He came because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever trusts in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. John writes in his first epistle, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And so he tells us that we are to love one another. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. Love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The man who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Folks, God commands us to do what is only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, if we're going to live in love, it's only through his power. It's only by his grace. And we're reminded in Paul's letter to the Corinthians what that love looks like. Because it's not up to us to redefine it. It's not up to us to decide, well, I think this is what love is all about. Love is not about feeling. Love is about doing. And so God calls us to live a life of love. And I've asked Susan if she would share from 1 Corinthians 13 what that looks like.
And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.